call when the institutions, individuals, to come and do presentations to the committee for red adolescents. To that extent, when the Department of Basic Education comes and presents their annual performance plan as well as their budget. We want to determine whether your APT actually aligns to certain very critical policy directives like the NCC, aligns to your strategy, your 5-year strategy, aligns to SONA and various other political things that we are presuming to take South Africa for. We represent the interests of provinces as well as major council of committees. So I would please that in your presentation you actually bring that up, because much as we are interested in what is happening in the entire nation, but we have got specific interest in things that our province that you represent provide service by the Department of Education. The old issues, we have looked at your annual performance plan from outside as members of this committee. There will be issues that you are going to be raising, but we prefer to leave it to your presentation and raise those at the end of your presentation. We've got very limited time at our disposal. I would request, Honourable Deputy Minister, that whoever is doing the presentation, they do it as fast as possible. The markup, we're all running. The President said during the State of the Nation that we are a nationwide, we're running around ensuring that we all put our heads together to take South Africa forward. I'm going to hand over to you, the Director General. Probably the Deputy Minister is going to give the introduction and then we'll hand over to you. We like him because he does help to give us an overview and give us very, very good advice. So we are not surprised that he's here because we know that the end of the United States is one of the institutions that he has.
Thank you very, very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I will do as you suggested, given the constraint of time, be very, very brief. But may I just take this opportunity to pass our condolences to his family and friends of the Chief of Wanambi, the former Chief of the NCC. And may I just very courteously ask you just observe a moment of silence because she has passed. It's okay before we start. Thank you very much. Chairperson, I've had the benefit of having had a long conversation with the honourable members who are present out here, and really it was lively and interesting conversation. I would at the outset like to convey the apologies for the minister. She would have definitely been here, but because we're having a business session today as we speak right now, she's asked me to convey the best wishes and apology to the committee. Secondly, I noticed that the entire senior management team, led by the acting director general, is here because we certainly do take the NDP very, very seriously in terms of what it does. Chair, I'm going to be just very, very brief to say that we are lucky in the sense that both the minister and the deputy minister have been sent to this portfolio. But at the same time, we come here with a renewed and invigorated disposition. It's a time where we've got to do things much more efficiently. We stress with the department in our conversation the importance of quality and effectiveness. Those are the two central elements in terms of how we intend approaching our work in the next 5 years. Chair, very, very quickly and very briefly, to say that the past 5 years have reflected very sound progress in terms of the quality of education. We've done extremely well in terms of the national university examination, and if we take into account the supplementary examination, we have passed 80%. That's remarkably good, and that converts into a large number of people doing their bachelor's degrees, being able to go to tertiary institutions. Secondly, the fact that for the first time in the history of the country, we've had one in three children that could go to university, one in three that could go to University of Technology. And that in itself is an indicator of progress in terms of the quality of education, but more. and ministers to say that more needs to be done to them. I think what we can do is we are moving away from mediocrity towards where we should be, and that's excellent, but it's going to take a while, it's going to be very difficult, and we have to work extremely hard. But that's the point, Chairperson, is that literacy and numeracy is still a part of what we need to do, and therefore we're going to continue with our initiatives in terms of workbooks that we provide, promotion of literacy and numeracy, and the emphasis on early child development. We have indeed, as you've indicated, aligned our programs with the National Development Plan, as well as the Action Plan of the Department, and the Manifesto of the Ruling Party. These are the three broader documents in which alignment has taken place. So, for example, we can almost celebrate the fact that we already have near universal enrollment in grade R. We've already developed a draft for 0 to 4 to assist the development that is the lead department. In this regard, we've finalized and adopted a draft for the framework for grade R, and we've already since a few years now been providing resources to each and every learner in grade R, and that translates into more than 780,000 learners here. So a lot is being done in terms of resources, but at the heart of what we've got to do is just to ensure that we have quality, we have an efficient teacher, professional teacher core. And that's going to be a huge focus with the Department of Basic Education. We have to continue with our attempts in terms of infrastructure, provision of water, electricity, ensure that furniture is provided, and these details will be provided to you by the department, so I don't want to feel the thunder. What I'm saying to you is we are fully aware of the huge, huge challenge that we have ahead of us, but we can take comfort in the fact that we have indeed made tangible strides, but much more has to be done given the inequality in the system of education and our commitment to provide quality education for our people. So with these words, Chairperson, given the context and the time constraints, I would like to pass on to the Acting Director General to have a discussion on behalf of the Department of Education. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. We've got only about 20 minutes, 25 minutes at the disposal. If you're not the only person that's going to be doing the presentation, I would request that you actually split the time amongst us. Because the critical issue is that I need to put space to members to actually arrange the department. The things as you do the presentation is for the thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Very generous. We were going to split the presentation, but I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to gather through it. So I'm targeting 15, 20 or less. Mm-hmm. And I have a reputation. So that's why I'm doing it. But I'll try to cover all the bases. But, thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. And in opening the presentation, basically indicate that we present a budget to the Department of Basic Education. And it's a budget that, and a strategic plan that covers the activities of the national department. There are some activities and some funds that go to provinces, which we will highlight. In the main, it's for the vote 15 for the Department of Basic Education. In the last 5 years, basically, in our strategic plan and delivery agreements, we've covered the following key, we identified key challenges, and we basically covered the areas of learner outcomes as a challenge, healthy STEM and assessment, and the issue of support to districts, and to ensure that basic education, we optimize our efficiency in that regard. And the program that we've had over the last 5 years, basically we continue into the new administration as well. We developed the action plan to 2014 towards the realization of schooling 2025. It had 27 goals, and these were divided between outputs and how they had to be achieved, and this also formed part of the minister's agreement. And this slide basically is a summary of that delivery agreement, which covers teacher practices, as well as LCSM issue of material, assessment, and then JR and ECD, and then the issue of districts and functionality and accountability. Now, DBE is going forward. The five-year plan is being developed, which will be for finalization in 2015. So that will be the strategic plan for going forward, but it comes out of the, it will be the MTS for 2014-2019. So these priorities will be part of the minister's delivery agreement with the president, as well as the deputy minister when requested. And we've revised the action plan to be in line with this, which will then be the action plan to 2019 towards the realization of 2030. So this will contain all our medium and short-term plans as well. Now, as the business indicated, it comes out of the manifesto. Our priorities come out of the manifesto, the cabinet Lokotla discussions, and other Lokotla, as well as the medium, the national development plan, as well as the medium-term strategic framework. And we will be continuing with issues of curriculum, in that we are in the final year for CAP implementation. The focus is on looking at how we can utilize the time. Oversight and monitoring will continue. Then there are the issues of issues for ANA, utilizing ANA and the National Senior Certificate. So these we continue together with the assessments. Our brief is to ensure that the NSC, we reach an 80% pass for 2014, and that ANA, we do not go backwards in terms of improving performance there. Then the support material, we continue to monitor textbooks and workbooks, and we will continue to build on this and to ensure that the materials are of high quality. Infrastructure is still on the radar in terms of that large portion of the budget is with provinces, and the DDE has a CD program to deal with mud and unsafe, and then there are issues related to basic services that still we will need to meet those targets. On accountability, it's about teachers' time on task, the frequency of monitoring at existing office level in terms of schools, and having existing improvement plans, and finalizing the South African standards for appointment of principals and service managers, and then you have the data traditional day conditions of service, and we prepare for the 2015 SGB elections. From the NDP, there are six basically outcomes that are there that cover basically teachers, teaching and learning through development, and in particular the utilization of teachers. The second is about health system and infrastructure. I'm just summarizing these. The third is on assessment, and then ECD improving grade R, as well as dealing with the pre-grade R provision. And then the issue of districts improving accountability and management at different levels, school, community, district, and then partnerships in sector. Now, Deputy Minister touched on what the basic themes are that comes about. It focused on quality and efficiency of education. The other is the communication to communities, and all levels are critical. On the one level, in terms of what we are doing and what we are succeeding in, and the other to communicate with our communities to understand what their needs are. To cite an example, there's service delivery process, but if you go deeper, it's not just in schools and learners are targeted, but when you go deeper, it's not necessarily an educational matter. It may be about a role. But there could be other educational matters that a community would like to be dealt with, and we need to listen to our people. To prioritize teaching and learning, irrespective of the fiscal constraints we are in, and then look at strengthening our partnerships with all role players, and then looking at the provincial and national mechanisms that lead to delivery, and the usage of the National Education Policy Act in terms of monitoring and evaluation norms and standards. So we're looking at non-negotiables for the sector, and these are some that the Deputy Minister and the Minister have identified, which is not new to the sector. It's come back from the various documents and consultations we've had, and it's already been shared with the Council of Education Ministers. LCSM, one line to achieve that each child would have one textbook per grade, per subject, would be the ultimate goal, and we'd have to work towards that in terms of using the workbooks for one, then looking at economies of scale in terms of production and delivery of these textbooks. And then using the annual national assessment and the data that is available to assist in learning improvement. On infrastructure, to prioritize water and sanitation and electricity, and also deal with ongoing maintenance, and to ensure that each child has a desk and a seat. And this would lead to maybe setting up norms and standards in terms of infrastructure. On the districts, it's about improving district and district management and support, and the norms and standards for districts to be basically regulated and gazetted. On teacher placement, deployment and development, is to ensure there's stability in the sector, and to look at one of our biggest risks would be the forthcoming wage negotiations in the public service, but to look at what would be feasible in terms of this government-wide issue. And on teacher development, we need to look at the issues of the teaching of African languages, as well as the quality of teaching of grade R, and the better placement of Hunza Lushaka graduates. I think an ICT is one that we would need to crack, and to ensure that our learners are able to get the best of integrating the technologies that we have in terms of the curriculum delivery. And I'll say something else later. On Karigude, it's about taking forward the program, expanding it, ensuring there's advocacy, as well as refocusing it on youth employment and ensure there's communication to the to potential participants. The other key area of the non-negotiable is library services. To ensure that we have a program in place that will ensure that we improve from where we are at about 30% to probably a higher, maybe double or more, in terms of ensuring there's some form of service that we provide resourcing in terms of libraries, but also focusing on reading. A rural focus as well, which we're talking about there, we have a large number of multi-grade schools, which will not go away, but we need to look at how we support them and ensure that we maintain them. Then there are very small schools or micro schools, and to look at schools that are non-viable, and to ensure that learners can get the best education, we need to look at mergers and rationalization. And this also had an impact on scholar transport. On curriculum, which is a core focus of the department, everything is driven around that. With these ECD is a major priority with math, science, and technology to increase the participation and improvement in that. In terms of the SONA, the president has indicated we need to move from 117,000 for mathematics to 240. But in discussions we are having that in future, we should be looking at that maybe maths needs to be taken by nearly all learners in that regard, maybe our AC20 or something like that. It's not a decision, but that's the kind of discussion the minister is having with the deputy minister and the MEC. In the instruction of the African language, that's also on the radar. The ANA discussions about testing at 3, 6, and 9. Previously, we test 1 to 7 and 9, and we're going to pilot 8 and 9. So we go forward on that, and we look at how to see that. ECD are mentioned using the Mindit app, which is a learner support material to assist learners. And then to identify schools which do not afford the, offer math, science, and technology so that we can then ensure that there is a change in that direction of the curriculum offering. The last two non-negotiables is the partnerships and socialization. It's about learner well-being and learner health and learner safety. So to address poverty and inequality in that regard, we have our nutrition programs, but we also look at TB testing, deworming, and so forth. And then norms and standards for the business processes. In that last bullet, take forward some of the things that was mentioned in the SONA as well about the Malaysian big pass results, is to put our people into a room to come with a plan to take forward a particular issue, and then roll out. And one such, one of the first that we'd like to do is to look at ICT. There are others that are also under consideration in that result, under consideration to be implemented in that manner. So the under date, to take forward some of these, there need to be joint planning, monitoring, and reporting, working with the provinces, and together with the Council of Education Ministers, we are reviewing funds, resources review, free-up funds, and conditional grants review has also been initiated, and we'll also then finalize the delivery agreements. On C, in terms of what's in the strategic plan of the department, we have five programs, we also refer to as tranches, and I'll go quickly through these. The first one being administration, which is basically to manage the department and provide strategic and administrative support. So it covers the offices of the minister, deputy minister, it includes legal, it covers the accommodation that we have. And so it also deals with the HR issues of the Department of Basic Education in the main, and it's also to assist with intergovernmental issues affecting the department. Then the plan itself, it has its outputs, which looks at staff training, employment of interns, our international obligations to DELCO, your disclosure of financial interest, your performance agreements, and your management performance assessment tool that comes from the Department of Training, Monitoring, and Evaluation. And program two is basically curriculum policy support and monitoring, and it is to see the classroom that has an impact on what happens in the classroom together with learners and teachers. So curriculum support policy development monitoring, it also has curriculum in there, and it's looking at e-education, ensuring that the curriculum is implemented, and focusing presently on math, physical science, and technical subjects, and then LTSM materials, including is about the workbooks and textbooks. We've now added libraries. After the norm, it's about the implementation, then your ECD, grade R, and then your inclusive aid in terms of national screening and so forth for special needs. These are basically the goals that are in the action plan. So these are some of the targets related to senior certificates, as well as the reach for grade R in terms of the workbooks. The same for mathematics at 9, and the number of learners we need to be targeting over 545,000 to reach to complete curriculum. In Program 3, Teachers, Education, Human Resources, and Institutional Development, looking at the issue of the supply, development, and utilization of human resources in the sector, in particular teachers. And it's to take the teacher development plan and ensure that this is implemented together with the materials and programs that are being set up and the institute that we've already started to do work for us, and to ensure that we have a recruitment base where we can get young teachers as the older ones leave the system, and then to support district in terms of the best practices that's happening in the classroom. So these are basically the targets from the DDE side, reaching a target of 8,000 teachers that are age 30 and less, which probably is less than what we, in the future we need to improve that target. The same on terminations, and Kunza Lukshaka Bereshti placement of 13,500. In program 4, dealing with planning, information, and assessment, it's covering financial and physical planning infrastructure, national examinations, as well as the annual national assessment. It also has the National Education Evaluation Development in NEDU and the Planning and Delivery Oversight Unit. So I'll just, these objectives are basically to deal with the NST and the ANA, the grade R, and then to look at infrastructure, and then to deal with ensuring quality information and data at all levels in the school system. The targets there are in relation to when the NST is completed, as well as the ANA, to ensure the results are produced timely and reported publicly. Then the targets for completion of the CD schools for the current year, and then the targets dealing with to monitor and look at dropout and retention rates in the system as well. The last program, 5, educational enrichment, is the one that's dealing with care and support in schools and partnerships. So it's looking at services to learners from poor communities, as well as involving stakeholders in education. And this basically is a school nutrition program as well as the health program for learners, but also to be looked at in some respects out of the health of teachers to a degree. And then you'll see when we get to the budget, we talk of the National Education Collaboration Trust to bring in social partners to be involved in the issue of delivery of education. So on the last part is the budget. In 2010-11, our budget, we have spent close to 5 billion to indicate we've removed the 1,000 at the top, it's 3 zeros there, and then we talk about the figures below. So in 2010-11, the budget of the department, we have spent 5.5 billion. So it's grown over the years, and for 2013-14, we have spent just over 17 billion in terms of these programs. And in 2012-13, the spending was at around 92%. In 2013-14, it will be at 96%. And the main, it had to do with the CD that we had not utilized all budget in terms of expenditure, but we had more projects on our books, and that is where why we didn't get closer to 100%. But this in 2013-14, we have gone over R1 billion on the CD. So the budget has increased over the period because of the workbooks, the introduction of the educational infrastructure grant, as well as the infrastructure backlog grant, which we refer to as the CD, and the school nutrition also got increased in those years. This actual expenditure by economic classification for those years, and some of it is due to the increase of the conditional grant goods and services is because of the monitoring that we had increased, and the under transfer the subsidies is a percent. The grants have gone up as well in terms of certain programs like nutrition. Underpayment for capital assets, that has to do with the delivery of schools and toilets and water improvements at the school level. So as we have succeeded in completing more projects, those payments for capital assets also increase. These are the detailed expenditure earmarked funds and conditional grants. Earmarked funds can only be utilized for that specific purpose. So we have Karigude, workbooks, another to highlight the annual national assessment, the NEDU units on the grant, its technical schools recapitalization, Denali education infrastructure grant, HIV, and school nutrition. As I indicated earlier, in the light of the fiscal constraints, we are reviewing the efficiency of all these programs so that if there are anything that we could look at wastage, we could then reallocate. On actual expenditure for 2010 to 14, these are the line items in terms of compensation, examiners, and so forth for the department. On transfers, we do transfers to CETA, UNESCO, PDEA, and then there's NASPAC transfer. The NCT collaboration last year, we transferred 15 million. MLUSI was 97 million. For 2014 and going forward, there have been cuts in what was in the estimate originally, and this way in the infrastructure backlog plan, carry good in, and in our goods and services. In the EIG, as well, there was an adjustment in that regard. We have occupational therapists, occupation-specific dispensation of therapists. There's a 231 million and a 57 million allocated to implement for this category, and then thereafter, that will be included in provincial budgets. And this slide, the curriculum increase over the last year is due to the curriculum for expanded public works, as well as the program dealing with math and science and e-learning in that regard. In teachers, it's about the Funzalu Shaka increase, and under planning is for the backlog grants that they increases from 17.5 to 19.6 billion. This is the allocation per program for the 2014 budget, for the 2014 MPF. Then broken down into classification. So compared from 2014-15 to 2013-14, we find that in that first, I just talked to the compensation of employees, the DBA has 292 million plus, and it will increase to 311, but that's just a 6.6% increase just to cover probably the CPIX. It excludes other employees we do employ, like examiners and moderators, which is in the next slide. So the bulk of the increases are to adjust for CPIX and inflation, and in other instances, it's just additional amount for the grant and the ANA. This is a summary for 2014 MTF. In terms of the earmarked funds, in 2014 is approximately 1.77 billion is the earmarked fund. In terms of the grants, which are then transferred to provinces in the main, which is the 13 billion, which the like example, the education infrastructure grants is a 6.9 billion. So this is transferred to provinces, and provinces report on the provincial plans for implementation. I think I've been getting limited to that. Yeah. If I get an opportunity, I will do that. Tell the president. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity for presenting, and we'll take questions, and if the time doesn't allow us, we'll note the questions and we'll provide the answers in writing as well.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Please don't tell the president, they'll never aspire to do what they members, that is the presentation. Let me hand over to the members to ask the question. And are we progressing? Can we hope that in the very near future they are going to be able to have on their own department without the assistance of the intervention? Those are the questions that I have. Okay, then it's over to the other member. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I know you're concerned that equality should prevail to all men, with you giving us two questions and you having the whole hand to yourself. Mine is two things that I want to say. I've got comments and I've got two blessed on that. And I've got concerns other than questions, but I would raise those concerns and questions to you and I've bulleted them because of time constraints. Now, my first comment is to compliment the multilingualism that you are pronouncing the solar, and know it's going to be empowering to the nation. It's like to empower people, empower in two languages. And I want to also compliment on the improvement of the delivery of textbooks. There has been an improvement. It's not completely completed, but there is an improvement. On the content, I want to stress that your report is very comprehensive and very thrilled, beautiful. But I want to know, you're not addressing some of the concerns that are compromising the academic excellence of students, and that is especially you, that teaching by teachers at basic education, which impacts the higher education. They range from 2 months to 6 months to get the attendance and principals are in connection with things, and I know the district seven, who they've introduced recently to try and combat that. It is a real problem because it's compromising academic excellence at grade 12. I want to know about your alignment, because it impacts on higher education, your alignment between yourselves and the Department of Higher Education. All the gaps that you missed up on impact at higher education, and then the skills that you need to empower the nation in terms of finding jobs are not there. The teaching time that has been compromised, and I'm talking from a 20-year experience that's been happening in so-called black schools, ESA, the modern schools, the white schools. The sporting activities. Okay.
Do want to make input as members.
That's why we started by thanking the department, which is very alarming. Also, you convey this to the minister that we are glad that the deputy honorable deputy is here. We want to thank you very much for the work done. It gives us the opportunity to talk to you face to face as a village committee for the good work done. It has not been easy to turn around the education system, including the behavior of the children. In the past, you'll find children all over the show, especially in the previously disadvantaged areas, but no more happening. And also, that is seen through the results. I want to say thank you very much, Tabongaba, for the good work done by the department. Even though we do have issues or areas of concern, which some of them have been raised by the members. From my side, I want to make two suggestions. In line with National Development Plan, the first one. If you look at the example of Kandi, which used to be mentioned by the former minister, that in Kandi from the beginning until the end, I don't see that happening in government. Who in the department could consider having a checking system? It will be very much important that you work very close with the Department of Home Affairs, because that is very much to take a child at first. You grow up with the child, social services, the child enters the school, until when the child concludes at a higher education. It needs a very quick collaboration with other departments. So I would suggest that as part of the milestone of key things that we do in the department, have a checking system, as part of the MVP. We must not just talk about it, let's implement it. The second input that I want to make as a suggestion, in terms of ICT, the Wi-Fi, if taxi industry can have Wi-Fi in their taxis, why can't we do it? Let's consider that. I think it will address the issue of the access to internet, if we could consider that. Those will be my two inputs for the department. My name is Tessie Lamini.
Thank you. I don't have another name. I've got one question. The other two are optional. I'll tell you. Okay, I'll start. When we introduced ourselves, you in your team had your cousin call himself acting the director general. Just as you know, why do you have a meeting? Director general. No, and I'm interested in this one. The second one is there is money going to Malawi, either counseling and youth development, and can you clarify that to me? Lastly, your great art teacher, I just want you to show me that you do have plans in the budget to absorb them. I don't know how to put it because they are your employees, but in terms of benefits, they are not as far with their colleagues from grade 1 to grade 12. That's my worry. You have plans to also upgrade their material of them or whatever. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. My name is Dikhan Stokro. I've got one question, and I don't want to find myself on the wrong side of the room. On the chairperson's side, I'm going to stick to the rules. I have a number of questions, but I'm just going to ask one. For a number of reasons known to ourselves, the issue of time and so forth. I think about an issue around, you see your department is in charge for grade R's up to, or maybe grade 1 up to grade 12. Now, when a child reaches a stage of grade 12, there's normally a temptation of what we call a celebration of the results when the results have been published, when the national department releases the results. For me, it has got a direct implication on those metrics or metric units that did not pass the grade 12. You know, when we were still in the youth movement, when we were growing, one issue that we used to raise but from the political press now we're in parliament, we introduce a very different language. And as I'm sitting here, I think I'm also raising that's part of a concern to the department. If the department decide to, at some point, to address it, we don't know, but as a committee, maybe the department can share with us as what are the interventions that they're trying to make. Because most of the time, what we celebrate the pass rate. If a province has achieved 65% or 72%, we celebrate and say we have reached our target. But the implication of those families that loses those ones, the metric figures might not make it. Actually becomes a responsibility or a burden on the national government and the department itself. And I think it's an area, it's a great area which we are not capitalizing on. To say after the great trials, after the results have been announced, as a department, what is it that we are doing? As a program to target those who are that did not make it, you know? Because you leave them out and it creates an impression as if I did not make it, the only solution is only to commit suicide. And then we actually left out there and all of that. And then I think the pressure also in relation to that, it's normally when it comes to, because provinces normally they say the top 10 is the province, then they put pictures there in the newspaper and all of that, which also puts a lot of eyes on those that are not making. And the top 10 is the celebration at the provincial level, which also makes it very difficult for those that are not making. That our own ministers and our own mayors and our own premiers, they also attend those ceremonies to go and celebrate those that they have made it, and that have passed, that have produced the most results. And as a government also what we do, we then to a particular extent award those that have made it, but we don't also make space for those that have made it. I think it's a great area that we need to tackle as a department, and maybe at the level of the department, we need to speak once and say, as part of your oversight responsibility, what is it that you are doing? I think in that regard, thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
It looks like there are no other questions.
So, Honorable Chairperson, we spare a lot of time here, so I can ask all the questions. from my side, Chairperson, I think I also want to congratulate the deputy and the minister. I think we as a committee are really lucky to have them again here with us in the education department. They know what's going on, so it is easy for the continuing day to carry on where we stopped in the previous term. I've got two questions, and the one question is regarding the grade R classes in schools. I want to know what is the situation in the primary schools in South Africa at this stage. I know there's a lot of schools who haven't got this facility, and what are the department going to do? I also feel that it's very important that we must have it in each and every school, in each and every community, to assist our children in that way. And the next question is about, I don't know if it is the department or is it from Gauteng side, Chairperson, the announcement that made that schools are, they want schools to be combined with one headmaster at different schools. I'm a bit worried about the situation because at this very moment, because we haven't got clearance about it, that will not work. To get people one principal, it is difficult for one principal to manage one school at this stage. And now, what is in the pipeline is from your side, I don't know, it is not workable. So if you can put a bit more clarity around that, I will also appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, let me head over to the
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'll try to be brief in my responses and then also give the department the opportunity to augment or to add or correct wherever I'm not wherever I've not responded appropriately. The first is with regard to colleague Mamburu, who had asked about what kind of support are we providing to provinces. Especially in Popo, but also we may be referring to Eastern Cape where they are intervention. The view that we've taken is basically doesn't help intervening without providing sustainable capacity within the province.
In other words, you've got to, when you leave a project out there, you must be able to leave it with human resource capacity and the finance capacity to be able to manage the task application. To that end, the department has really sacrificed, put the word in inverted commas, the senior staff to help in both the provinces. Almost every 2 weeks, a team of official senior officials from the Department of Education is going to Limpopo, and almost in the beginning, almost every week, to Eastern Cape, and now in that office, we have a dedicated administrator in Limpopo, and we have a dedicated administrator, well now an acting administrator in the Eastern Cape. We've developed a strategy for a turnaround strategy in both the provinces in order to enable the provinces to manage that. Turnaround strategy deals with issues of finance, issues of personnel, issues of infrastructure, issues of furniture. This is a range of things which have been identified as problems within the system itself. The good news is if you look at the Eastern Cape, for example, and I've been politically, as it were, responsible for all the Eastern Cape with an interministerial committee, obviously, and I've received wonderful support from the department. We were able to show for the first time that they were able to break the glass ceiling in terms of reduction, achieve almost 65%. This never happened before. For the first time, the Eastern Cape has only one MEC for education. They've had 10 or 11 in the entire intervention, and they have something like 13 HODs, they only have two. So these are positive elements within of stability within the Eastern Cape as a result. The intention here is we feel reasonably satisfied about the improvements that have been made both in Eastern Cape as well as Limpopo. But it doesn't mean that even if we decide tomorrow or recommend tomorrow, the MCOQ will decide whether the intervention must be converted from a section 101B to a 101A or to eliminate completely. You would have to make that assessment. But if the assessment is, for example, that you reduce it to a 101A, it doesn't mean that the department is going to stay behind and say, well, you're on your own. The department will continue providing the support that it's obliged to do constitutionally, because we can't have invested so much and then allow a problem to be crushed. So the assurance that I give you, colleague, is really that we will continue supporting. What I can tell you is that there is a review from an executive perspective of both of the intervention, both in terms of the Eastern Cape as well as the Limpopo, and a submission is going to be made soon to Cabinet regarding the recommendation, which will then be taken to Parliament. Cabinet will consider taking to Parliament, particularly to the FCOP, to say, these are our views, these are the reasons why we feel we should go in this particular direction. Do you agree or do you not agree? Obviously, the FCOP is going to say, we will have to go to the province, we will have to assess ourselves, do an oversight of it, and then make the appropriate decision. So the power is indicated by your hand rather than in ours. With regard to the disclaimer of qualified audits, it was not only the Limpopo in the Eastern Cape that had this problem. There were other provinces as well. In fact, there were only about three. At one stage was Gauteng, Western Cape, Northwest, I think were about three provinces, and Mpumalanga. The other provinces all had either disclaimers or unqualified. What our department does is our CFO was here. They actually, she's not here. But she will tell you that they leave a team to assist each and every province so that they can basically develop the appropriate systems. They do so once really has been continuing, and as a result, over the years, we've had more satisfactory. You know, before you just see a red light flashing all the provinces, we've had more satisfactory audits, but it's not good enough. We should be in a situation where we have unqualified audits in all the provinces, and we were extremely high. The Eastern Cape, for the first time in its history, for example, has moved from a total, what do they call it, disclaimer to a qualified audit, for the first time in its entire history. And that is a result of the support and intervention that has been made strategically and otherwise. So I thought that should be shared with you. Chairperson, with regard to mathematics and science, we want to be assured that we have some good news. The good news is that for the first time in the history of this country, every student has to do either mathematics or mathematical literacy. It's never happened before, it is so. And with that comes the attendance difficulty of ensuring that each grade will provide a competent engagement. And that is the shortage of that particular. Secondly, with regard to the support that we provide, we believe that medics can't start with the epidemic, that is 10, 11, 12, has to occur right in the beginning. And that's why we've got this campaign on assisting numeracy, starting from grade R right up to grade 9. The workbooks are really to enhance the numeracy skills and the literacy skills of our learners, and they are being assessed annually. And already you're going to be seeing an improvement with regard to that. So if you take over the past 3 years, from your baseline in terms of grade 1, 2, 3, 8.5, you would find that there has been an improvement both in terms of literacy and numeracy. In my opinion, it's still not good enough, but from where we were at a very, very low base, shock the nation, we have moved forward because there is a certain acceptance that there are problems. And what we do with our annual national assessment test is we basically start nationally providing templates to say these are the deficits that we've identified across the country. We get each province and each district and each school to identify, to do a question analysis, to be able to determine. So if, for example, you're teaching a grade R class and you do the numeracy test and the literacy test, you find out that the graphs are inflection or in multiplication. On the basis of the results that you have over there, then you've got to put in place mechanisms to address that deficit. And that is what the literacy and numeracy assessment does in an annual national assessment. No country in the world does it as broadly as we do. Now, because of the grade 9, now the grade 9 is a bit of an anomaly, but we also understand what has happened basically. We find an improvement in the performance of learners in primary school. Come high school, the intermediate, the junior high school, there's too little attention paid to that particular area. And the minister said, we can't neglect that area. Because you can't get good learners, learners performing optimally in the FET band, grade 10, 11, and 12, if you don't provide the support in the early areas. And therefore, a particular focus and attention is being placed there. We are also going to, for the first time, test the grade 7 and 8 so that we can get a baseline and understand what is happening. We know up to grade 6 what is happening, and we know for the past 3 years. We want to know this year what happened in grade 10 and what happened in grade 8, so that when it comes to grade 9, we already have an understanding of where the intervention should be made. Now, there has been explanations that grade 9, especially in mathematics, the cognitive demand is too high. Others are saying it's reasonable. We regard that with the parents to say they are not performing well. It's not acceptable to us. We've got to work. But we don't work at grade 9 only. We work on the grade before, and that is why the error goes now from grade 1 right to grade 9. That's a huge cost, because we will be testing more than 8.5 million learners. Can you believe it? More than 8.5 million learners to assess that. But it's necessary, and that means that we are achieving. But what we can share with you is that we've increased the number of classes in literacy, in mathematics, and in science. That the percentage classes have increased, quality of the classes have increased, and indeed the numbers have increased. So I thought that would be very, very useful to share with you. With regard to the curriculum itself, we've done extremely well in terms of training. Really, we'll probably be able to extend it, but we've trained more than 340,000 teachers of interpretive curriculum. This year, for example, we had grade 7, 8, and 9, and grade 12. The final phase was the national curriculum and qualification. All educators have been trained there, but not only trained, but trained to teach on a differentiated basis. In other words, what about those learners that have deficits and learners with disabilities? So included and institutionalized in the curriculum of professional development is differentiated teaching. Now, I've just come back from Tokyo in Japan. They are raising this as an issue we are registering in our country. That means, in terms of how we do it, not that we're surpassing them in terms of our achievement, but in terms of the idea conceptually, we're doing extremely well. So I thought we would like to say, why is the 75% change? The reason for it is basically, when you, like in this administration, we're going to enter into an agreement with the president. Say, these are the targets, and these targets are informed by what the process here they would achieve. So these are the national targets. So in the previous administration, these were the national targets. So we've exceeded the targets in terms of literacy, we've exceeded the targets in terms of numeracy, we've exceeded the targets in terms of grade 12 passes, we've exceeded the targets in terms of university bachelor's passes. So the 75 is a target from yesteryear. It will obviously be revised now. You must remember you are receiving the previous year annual report, not the current year. And come to the budget speech, you probably get some kind of indication of what it is. And certainly it would not be less than the, well, in my opinion, it won't be less, because it has to be a very close decision that we've got to take, but it won't be less than 80%. It would be foolish to have it less than 80% when you've already achieved 80.2%. So with regards to the interdict assistant chief, I've explained that, and I think I've dealt with Mayor Mapuru's situation in Topo as well. I did hope so that I could respond to that question. I'm developing so that we can indeed we have to do that. Thank you very much. I think the issue, that came after this or before that, it was about the multilingualism. I don't know who. Oh, yes, thank you very, very much. That Mayor Pambo Sibukwan from the Western Cape. Thank you very much for reading. I'm simply becoming emotional about the issue because I understand it because it's about education. Thank you very much for your comment about but you should basically indicate in my capacity as a former chief will also observe the authority of the chair. But one understands the excitement and part of the passion of what you do. So from where I'm sitting out here, I'm not condoning, but I understand. So it's critical. Next year we're going to be introducing every child would have to do an indigenous African language for grade 1. The year after it would be grade 1, grade 2, and implement. We do things immensely because it's impossible to be able to have skills to all the schools in 1 year. But we've done something else that we've never done before. You see, we committed to mother tongue. So if you're Afrikaans speaking, then you would be taught in Afrikaans. And you could, in Afrikaans, because the language is developed efficiently, you could be taught throughout. That would apply to English. But with our African languages, there is a challenge in terms of the development of the languages, and therefore we're doing it in foundation phase. But what is this stuff? That besides, you know, our children, besides being under-resourced and overcrowded classes, have a big difficulty. I'm talking about the African child in particular. Is that what used to happen before is that English was reintroduced in the courses. Now there's a switch in the language of learning and teaching, and the child is not expected to perform at the same level in the foreign Australian language. You will notice that if you go from grade 1 to grade 2 to grade 3, you've done first additional language courses. So every child in grade 1, for example, would receive four workbooks in the first half of the year, four workbooks in the second half of the year. And those four of those workbooks are first, English is the first additional language. So the child becomes familiar with what is going to be the language of learning and teaching already in grade 1. In February 1 grade, you could bring writing grade R. And of course, that would help. So in terms of the improvement in delivery, yes, there has been improvement in delivery. I think it is comical, but we will try 100% at all times. Your concerns are with regard to threat use. Very, very interesting. You know, about 5 years ago, there was a research undertaken on behalf of the union. And they found that, it was about HIV and AIDS, but they found that anxiety and threat was a higher contributor to illness and disease among educators than HIV and AIDS. So stress is the reality, and stress is it's about socioeconomic conditions, it's about overcrowded classes, it's about the environment, it's about bullying that occurs, widespread. So it's a range of factors. So teachers do have anxiety, and what we say is that we've got to teach, we've spoken to higher education and training to say, how do you deal with the cycle social elements within the education, not only for learning and teaching, but for teachers to be able to cope emotionally with that particular environment. So we are strengthening that particular element there so that we could be able to deal with issues of bullying. And remember, there's nothing, don't ever discuss corporal punishment, it's not allowed over here, but how do you effectively utilize other forms of detention to be able to enhance discipline within classrooms? Teaching time is not negotiable. The president has made a statement over here, and interestingly enough, the European countries teach for about approximately an average of about 32 hours. Japan, you won't believe it, teachers teach for 54 hours, and they teach on a Saturday as well. So that's why they're performing at the level that they do. So teaching time is critical, and therefore it should be non-negotiable. Sports, you will, since last year, we've been delivering a state-of-the-art school every week in the Eastern Cape. Western Cape, for example, the program that you are from, has 14 schools, two of which are completed, the other 8 are in different stages of completion, complement of the ACD program, the Accelerated School Infrastructure Development Program. And you find each of these schools has a sports facility, has ICT, has a library, and food facility. So look at what we're doing right now, you will find a full package, and I think we've got to do more in terms of those schools that are under-resourced to be able to do that. Non-teachers is a problem, we've spoken to states. the South African Council of Education, so on, that we can't get a disciplinary procedure taking so long. People to be able to deal with matters so quickly, and the teacher, without an investigation, is dealt with, decides to sue. And they give us insurance, and we check the monitor that there is an improvement, but still we believe it could be better insofar as that. But the broadband, very, very interesting. Broadband is certainly necessary. You know, we basically got the undersea cable, and we contributed this country, and Africa contributed on the East Coast as well as the West Coast. And it goes past Tanzania, Mozambique, comes to us. We provided the Department of Communications with a list of 10,140 schools for broadband connectivity. And we are at the same time exploring Wi-Fi. Just if you're on the World Cup heritage, we connected 1,608 schools. Vodacom connected more than 303 schools. Gauteng recently is almost connected. So then more than 8,000 schools in our country are already connected to the ICT. But our view is that every single school must be connected. And you've got to use multiple, you know, if there's a landline or if there's a broadband, then you've got to take Wi-Fi, and then those are in. But ideally, get a broadband speed at which you can get information, and I think the broadband that we're looking at with communication is like 3 gigabytes per second or something like that. It's extremely fast. So you just have that. And all our libraries, for example, have your books and mostly have ICT media information connectivity. So that's the vision for the future. I want to stop there because I think I've dealt enough with you, so next time you'll actually jump up. Matt, Lamini, Kathy, thank you very, very much for your kind words. I think it's not essential to the minister and the deputy minister, she could, as well as the officials within the department. It was extremely hard what they're doing, and I mean, really, really proud. Now let me just share with you, you know, we've got something that no other country in the world has, and I just hope by the end of this year, by the end of this financial year, we could say we've got 100% coverage. 84% of our learners are on our learning system. It's a learner minute for tracking our learners, which means that the child, if the kids are there, you know what the child is doing, who the parents are, how the child performs from year to year, in terms of NI and everything else. So we've got 84% of our learners. We've got a protocol with Home Affairs. In fact, they rely on us. They rely on us. Insurance companies rely on us to provide us, to provide them with data of parents, of children whose parents have died. And our little system has been able to provide them with this information. We hope and we're trying very, very hard to ensure that by the end of the financial year, we have each and every learner on our database. It's not happened anywhere else on the continent. We were the first country to achieve that. So we've made huge progress in so far as that is concerned. I think we can celebrate that. So the tracking system is on course. Indeed, the protocol of home affairs is there. We are working extremely well there. I'm not going to speak about ICT, Wi-Fi. I've not raised it over there, but I hope that there's some good news that we'll be providing to you there. Ms. Saula, thank you very much, also from the Kingdom as well as the IFP. I always tell them, I love the Kingdom. I love the Kingdom because my wife comes from the Kingdom. And I put the word of God here. So I have that gift there, you know. But also, I also bring something to you. I give you the Indian Ocean. It's also about the Kingdom, but you can always bring something. But she never touched it because you're going to hold it. But the acting DG, you know, you might recollect that the current MEC, in Gauteng, were the acting DG. We have a new administration. Mr. Diachi is a very competent and capable leader over there. He's agreed to act as an DG, but there are processes that have to be followed in relation to the appointment. DGs are appointed by the president. There's a process that goes through cabinet. So he cannot, Minister Andy Mateka can't say, DG, I'd like it to the DG without going through a process. So I'm not saying that he's going to be the DG, nor am I saying he's not going to be the DG, but we are dealing with this particular matter, but there is a process that has to be followed. With regard to Malawi, UNESCO has set up they provide opportunities for different countries with different things. And the sad part about it, we have a topic with our data. Malawi has been way behind in terms of providing the capacity on behalf of studies for the guidance council in the and we have to basically get in and help them. You know, it's a similar situation that we face in Zimbabwe. I mean, so we are stuck next where we have to basically help instead of that, but it's not responsibility of the country to do that. So this is, it's important that we provide this opportunity, but it's in the framework of your relationship with your sister countries. So just what guidance sent me, but I want to tell you honestly, it's not performing at the level that it should perform. And we are concerned about it, but we haven't been raised that. With the art teachers, very, very quickly, the art teachers, the good news is about, I'm speaking of subject direction, my learners and wise officials in the department of the history. But at least 20%, I think close to 30% of our practitioners in grade R have a level 6 qualification.
Yes.
That's good news. More than 96% of our practitioners have at least a level 4. And I say at least level 4 because many of them are traveling towards a grade 6. It is the intention of the department to basically make level 6 as the minimum qualification. In fact, over time, we can even increase that because that's your first exposure to formal learning. And therefore, you know, this year, there was this disproportionate manner in which practitioners were paid. For Zulu Natal, your province, for example, in the Free State, were paying much less than the other provinces. He persuaded the province, we can't force them. So basically, they look at uniformity. Now, at least we can say to you that all provinces pay at least a minimum of 5,000 rates at the time. The intention is really to integrate these professionals, and therefore, qualifications become very critical. You know, the way in which JPAR was introduced was quite informal. It's argued quite, and quite interestingly, the chairperson, the person that we had to appeal to is now basically was the person that was chairing the NDP, and then the recommendation is very strong in government for critical. So we have to look at, but they played our class. It's not only about the curriculum, and it's not only about the resources. It's about the way the class looks. It's different from the curriculum. It's about the jungle gym. It's about sanitation. It's very different. It's infrastructure. But we are slowly but surely moving very fast in terms of engaging our grade R. When you school that grade R classes, special facilities, go to any one of these schools. Please, go to any one of these schools. Go to Liboria, go to Tata. You'll see them in the Western Cape. That's just worth looking at these schools and look at the facilities that we provide for grade R. And we wish that you could do so for each and every single school. But we are moving in that direction, and you are right, we have to provide that. So it's very, very interesting. Let me give you some statistics. You'll be quite surprised, Cynthia. Just through our supplementary, firstly, with regard to the Latina, we have two arguments for it. With regard to the publication of your book, the one argument is that you're pretty accountable in some sense. You come to now, but if you without those examples, it would appear as if. And there is a huge demand by learners themselves to want to hear. Then there's the other element, the element of the trauma that's associated with those fails. We do provide counseling, provide support wherever possible. And that's why children don't get it closer to them, they go to school. So when they go to the school, if it's failure, if you go to a school, then you basically have that counseling. But what we are looking at and considering is whether we shouldn't just provide the results with an examination number rather than a name. So the learner can identify the results and then so that nobody else knows they're not subject to the trauma. But those who receive the reward, this is it worth and achieve. Let's celebrate it. But at the same time, give comfort and support to those who have not achieved. You know, Malcolm Mandela said it's not how many times you fail, but how many times you have the ability to survive. That's what makes you a good person. So I hope I'll let up. And now Mr. Sonobar, I think, maybe. It has been a huge improvement in the supplementary examination. So to just take last year, our matric result was at 38.2%. As a result of the supplementary exams, we provide to our national strategic learner achievement plan. We provide support to them. We have 15,050 additional people passing. So that means that we have 454,809 people that have passed the trip. It would also mean that Free State is no longer number one province, not with East. Because on the basis of I've not with my right, I've not with my left. No, but that's what it meant. But it also means that 1,303 additional people could go to university as a result of what you are raising, supplementary examination. And you have 2,834 people that can go to University of Technology, and you have 10,763 learners
who qualify for admission to higher secondary studies. So the supplementary examination cannot be ignored. We emphasize it and we will continue providing the support. I cannot but believe the national government speaks about it, it should be universal, especially if you don't have that kind of capacity, and from a governance and learning environment perspective, it's better to get to school. And therefore, encouraging our provinces to set aside dedicated budgets for early child development, which would, amongst other things, include the very hard part of either refurbishing them or providing for them. President Christian, we worked in coaching for Dinner Natal, from Milan, and you would find that your great star, great art classes are much bigger than your great art classes in metropolitan areas like the Western Cape and South Bay. Some people say it's because there's no TV in some of those areas, and there's no children, and then the population is much bigger. But it's a reality that there's overcrowded classes in your rural areas, and therefore we have to be able to do that. I hope that helps, and I don't know if there's anything that happens to you, but I do my best to take time.
Just to, we wouldn't go down the line, but Honorable just indicate that we will make available the handbook of all education legislation, and the NISAD did offer the portfolio committee an opportunity of 2 days that the departments can be available to work with the committee. I think we also offer that to the select committee as well. It doesn't have to be separate, it can be together. If it's not, we can be separate. We will work on the dialogue that I have available.
Thank you very much for
the
presentation.
Just on that, yeah, I can say, it's not a long thing. It's useful for the NCOP to work closely with the National Assembly. Mm-hmm. We used to do it during our time, and it worked extremely well. What you then have is co-chair, chair of the National Assembly and Portfolio Committee, and the chair of the Select Committee, and all you have rotating chairs, mm-hmm. where you can extremely deal with it. But you know, it takes a lot of time for the department as well, because they can do what they need in 2 days rather than 4 days. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to take
2 minutes. Thank you very much for the discussion. The presentation has allowed me and to adequately address all the issues that have raised as members. The incorporate evidence of the points reflected, the department is actually moving towards their redemption. And then we assume that we need to allocate a much smaller community. But it calls for a collaborative effort between all the stakeholders, the partnerships, the private sector, and voice to improve the standards of education. We do have having listened to your responses and looked at the APP, there's a lot of yes, another 40 piece of work to be done by the partners. I want to add on the sentiment of my colleague in saying that we really do acknowledge that the official means and leadership that the minister and the deputy minister are giving in terms of providing political leadership. We welcome the intention by the Department of a 2-day workshop. We need it together with the Asian Assembly, which I appreciate that because it's going to give us some time to share and look at things from the same perspective as one group rather than a workshop for us and for them, and we really good understand what we each admin in this time. So thank you very much. We are sorry we are for the pressure. We're seeking the advocate for the situation, and we need to go and have meetings of the agents of provinces for a very explained area discussion.
Chair, this is two announcements very briefly. The first is the budget speech is on the 2 o'clock on Tuesday in the 15th. On the 15th on Tuesday, we are welcome to the advocate for the education from the new second floor, 8 to 9. And the second is those of you, particularly in KwaZulu-Natal, who got the assessment that's taking place there, the National Fire Association, the final. For those of you who have never been to the assessment of our school, my God, please go there.
Thank you.
Thank you.